Most of today's stories put a price on automation, a regulator's number, a surveillance company's climb down, a developer's bill at the end of the month. This is Claude Codefield Notes for August 24, 2026, and there are 10 stories: a record European privacy fine, malware living in a car dashboard, ransomware moving down market, and a very good model that nobody will admit to building. A French driver named Brahim Ben Ali spent years collecting the same complaint from other drivers. The app cut them off, and no person ever explained why. He gathered testimony from 170 of them. On August 23, that paperwork became the second largest fine ever issued under Europe's privacy law. The Dutch Data Protection Authority penalized Uber €825 million, close to $1 billion, for deactivating driver accounts through automated systems without meaningful human oversight or advance warning. Some drivers, regulators found, were permanently cut off with no human ever reviewing the decision. Deputy Chair Monique Verdier, a computer should not make decisions on its own that carry consequences that large. Uber disputes the findings and intends to challenge the ruling. Most suspensions are temporary, it says. Permanent deactivations do get human review, and drivers can appeal. Paul-Olivier Dehaye, who founded the Swiss nonprofit that documented how those decisions got made, is now launching a class action so drivers can seek compensation of their own. Same pattern. New actor, and this time the automated decision is a camera. If you drive past a license plate reader, and in much of the United States everyone does, the question is who can look up where you have been. The Washington Post documented 46 cases of police officers allegedly using Flock Safety's technology to track ex-partners. Chief Executive Garrett Langley apologized to stalking victims on Fox News and CBS News while arguing his company did not create police abuse so much as expose it. He asked for a compromise between privacy and safety. The backlash is bipartisan. Bernie Sanders posted a demand to stop AI mass surveillance and name the company. And three House Republicans filed a bill barring federal purchases of automated surveillance systems. Flock has cut default data retention from 30 days to 7 and now wants a case code before records are pulled, though both can be overridden in what it calls evidence mode. The updater built into your dashboard is supposed to be the part you can trust. Kaspersky has published the first documented case of malware on a car head unit with an infection chain built for that kind of device, and it arrived through that very channel, a pre-installed system app handling analytics and updates. The affected units are aftermarket Android head units running firmware from Dufun, a Chinese supplier that says it has since closed the gap. Kaspersky ties the operation with high confidence to the MoYu Group, linked to the Badbox botnet human security identified in 2023. An infected head unit is not watching you drive, it earns money for somebody else, advertising fraud, and a node in a proxy botnet that checks a remote server every 90 minutes for instructions. The durable finding is the category. A car dashboard is now a platform that needs malware protection. That was the exotic end of the problem. The volume lives somewhere far more ordinary, 73%. That is the share of publicly disclosed ransomware and data extortion incidents that landed on mid-sized companies across 13,336 cases with known revenue in North America and Europe between January 2023 and June of this year. The figure comes from a new Black Kite analysis, which draws the mid-market line at annual revenue between $10 million and $1 billion, and more than half the victims sat at the bottom of that range. Manufacturing absorbed the worst of it, over a quarter of mid-market victims, then professional and technical services, then construction. The reason is not much of a mystery. Across the 120,000 or so mid-market organizations Black Kite monitors, 54.7% had significant patch management problems on internet-facing systems. There is a staffing number underneath it, too. A typical vendor risk team tracks 300 or more suppliers with two people. It gets harder still when the attack is built to vanish from the tools meant to find it. Fortra's threat intelligence unit spent 3 months tracking a phishing operation it calls Chameleon SEO Poisoning and reported a 40% rise in cases through the second quarter. The Shape lookalike domains pushed up the rankings above real banking sites on Google and Bing both, backed by servers that show a dead page to a security scanner and a fake login screen to a person arriving from a poison search. Banks are the target. Fortra tells defenders to watch where searches on their own brand keywords lead. For everyone else, the guidance is older than the web. Reach your bank through a bookmark or its app, never a search box. Away from the security beat now and into a guessing game. On August 22nd, a model called Ox Alpha appeared on OpenRouter, free to use, described only as a reasoning model built for coding, sustained agentic work, and production workloads. The listing named NoMaker. OpenRouter says only that it was developed and operated by a third party who has chosen to remain anonymous. Within a day, the guessing had taken over. Patrick Collison, whose company Stripe is acquiring OpenRouter, called it very impressive in public. The speculation split confidently in both directions at once. One camp certain it is a Chinese lab, pointing at the team behind the GLM models, another at an unreleased Microsoft MAI model. No lab has claimed it, and no lab has denied it. The part worth holding on to is the setup rather than the identity. A model can now arrive unattributed on a major routing platform and be good enough that nobody dismisses it on quality alone. Same pattern one layer down. A model's name is not what decides whether people run it. If you are the one paying the inference bill, the number that matters this week is not the revenue, it is the mix. Anthropic's annualized revenue reached $65 billion in July, up from $47 billion in May, with a profitable third quarter expected, that is the Financial Times source to people with knowledge of the matter. The part developers will recognize comes from Simon Willison, who set that reporting beside the RAMP AI Index, which reads billing data from about 70,000 companies. In July, Opus 4.8 accounted for 28% of usage, Sonnet 4.6 took 8.3%, Fable 5 took 8%, and Opus 5, released on July 24th, captured 3.5%. Willison's read is that Fable's price explains its share and that Opus 5 was too new in that window to have moved. Either way, the pattern is the one the headline describes. The best model available is not automatically the model people run. Most people have the Anthropic copyright ruling backwards. Judge William Alsup's 2025 order did make the company pay $1.5 billion to a group of writers, but he did not find that training on their books was illegal. He found close to the opposite. The training was lawful. What cost the money was acquiring the books from shadow libraries. Alsup compared a model learning from text to a writer studying literature. The line courts are drawing turns on competition, not consumption. In Thomson Reuters against Ross Intelligence, Judge Stefanos Bibas found Ross's use was not transformative because it competed head-on with the product it learned from. In Thaler against Perlmutter, courts held a fully machine-generated work gets no copyright at all, leaving an awkward question about how much human involvement is enough. The statute all of them are interpreting was last rewritten in 1976. Set that against how little a person needs to read, about 100 million words. That is roughly what a child has heard by the preteen years, and it is enough for fluency in any human language on Earth. Llama 3.1 trained on 15 trillion tokens, and frontier models may use 10 times that. MIT Technology Review's survey of the gap turns up one genuinely surprising result from the Baby LM benchmark, which caps training at 100 million words. Curriculum learning, feeding a model simple material first the way you would teach a person, did not help. The winning entry, GPT BERT out of the University of Oslo, beat Llama 270B on one benchmark using roughly 1.5% of the data. That efficiency question stops being academic the moment it lands on an invoice. Drew Brunig argues that Fable marks the end of a free lunch, and the analogy is Herb Sutter's essay on the end of Moore's Law. For decades, processors got faster every 18 months, so there was little reason to optimize code. When that stopped, developers had to decide what work went where. Model pricing, Brunig says, has crossed the same line. Until Fable, tuning an AI workflow felt wasteful because the next model would arrive better and cheaper within months. Fable, in his description, is incredible and prohibitively expensive, roughly 9 times the cost of GLM 5.2, which itself runs about a fifth the price of Opus 5. So the expensive model goes where it earns its cost, the cheap ones take the rest. His second prediction is the one to watch, that Fable's access controls and data retention terms will permanently change how organizations think about where they send sensitive data. The thread worth pulling next is that last one. If the fine, the backlash, and the price list all point the same direction, the question stops being what a model can do and becomes where you are willing to send the work. Thanks for listening. This is Schmug, and this has been Claude Code Field Notes.